Lillian Vasquez with LifeSales on KVCR. Thanks for listening. It's baseball season. In the Inland Empire, we have three minor league ball clubs: the Storm in Lake Elsinore, the Quakes in Rancho Cucamonga, and in San Bernardino, the Inland Empire 66ers. I'll talk with General Manager Joe Hudson of the 66ers. He'll share some of the new and fun activities they have planned for this season. Then I'll share my review, actually my opinion, of the 2018 Paley Fest. And we'll profile one more female pioneer for Women's History Month, this one a first prima ballerina. It's all coming up on LifeSales with me, Lillian Vasquez, right after the news.
Support for LifeSales on KVCR comes from Dr. Ingrid Trinkle in Redlands, providing medical and cosmetic dermatology, including PicoA laser treatments for tattoo removal. Information and a list of services online at clearmyinc.com.
This is LifeSales. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Joe Hudson is the general manager of the Inland Empire 66ers, the single-A affiliate team with the Los Angeles Angels, or in my house only referred to as the Angels. Baseball, the game referred to as America's favorite pastime, will start this week. It's a sport I enjoy. Last season, Joe was named Manager of the Year. I asked him to share his background in baseball.
You know, I'm actually from San Bernardino. I grew up in the area, and I began working with the 66ers actually when they were the Stampede back in 2001. I was a high school student just looking for a summer job, essentially, and started working with the organization, really enjoyed what I did, and as I was going through college, I decided to continue working there. Had some opportunities, and within the Elmore Sports Group, who owns the team, they got a number of other teams within their, their umbrella, and so I've stuck with them. You know, I've been there now. This is going on my 16th season.
Wow. So did you play sports in high school? Did you play Little League when you were a kid?
Yeah, baseball's always been my favorite sport. Played high school, played Little League. Was planning on playing a little bit of college ball and realized I probably wasn't at that level. I was okay with that. I decided just to go to school, and I enjoyed working in the sport, and I enjoyed, obviously I loved playing it, but being behind the scenes and seeing how it all comes together was a lot of fun too, and I enjoyed the business aspect of it. I started in 2001. They were at the new ballpark already. It was just a huge change from what I was used to at Paris. It almost turned it to like a new level of professional baseball when they moved into the facility downtown. And so I think that was when I realized I would like to work here. And I thought I was just going to get some money for being a kid, you know, get a cell phone, stuff like that. But but it ended up being much bigger.
So what was one of your first jobs you had when you were first starting out?
I started in food. I worked in food actually quite a bit, and I still have a big role in our food and beverage operation with our ownership group. But I was just a warehouse guy that delivered food to the stands, picked up trash. I've probably done anything there has to be done at that stadium. And especially on the food side.
Last year, you were named Manager of the Year. How was that for you, and what did it mean?
Obviously, it was extremely exciting and humbling. You know, one of the great things about being named Executive of the Year is it's not as though it's being voted on by just, you know, the league president or the owners. I mean, you're being voted on by all of the other general managers and presidents of the team. So it's your peers that are kind of judging, you know, your work ethic and the product that you're putting out there. So I was really, you know, excited about it and humbled by it, and just kind of goes to show that, you know, all the hard work that not only myself, but our entire staff at the 66ers, it shows. And it's nice to see that it's being recognized.
So what does it mean for you as a team to be the single-A ball club affiliated with the Angels?
Well, sometimes it's confusing. I know a lot of fans are fans of just baseball, but they don't understand exactly how the affiliations work and you know, who owns the team. I hear that a lot. So the Angels own you. And it's like, no, you know, I don't work necessarily for the Angels. I work for the Elmore Sports Group. And so we have a player development contract with the Angels. We've had it for 7 years now. This is our 8th season with the Angels. Basically what it means is, you know, we provide playing facility. We provide a team for them to bring their talent and their coaching staff to grow and develop talent within, you know, our facility and our organization.
If I understand this right, they're paying the players and you're paying maybe the staff?
So they pay for all the players. They pay for coaching staff, anything that has to do with the actual
Game itself.
Yeah. And we pay for all the expenses of the team. So uniforms, we pay for umpires, we pay for the facility, the grounds, the, you know, everything else that goes into being able to have a baseball game other than the players itself.
It is minor league. I mean, I know they're professionals, but it is minor league. How is minor league baseball different from running a business for major league baseball?
To be honest, I don't know that much because I've never run major league. But,
sure.
You know, I know a lot of the differences between, you know, major league and minor league baseball are some of the things that make minor league baseball and some of the things that make major league baseball great. You know, when you work with major league baseball, there's so much more that goes into it when you start talking about TV rights and you start talking about player contracts and all that stuff. The numbers are bigger, the costs are bigger, you know, everything about it. What's great about minor league baseball, in my opinion, is typically it's smaller communities that they're part of. There's a lot more flexibility in terms of being able to get guys out in front of the community. And so we take our players out to schools and we take our players out to hospitals and we have clinics. And, you know, there's so much opportunity for young kids to get in front of these guys. There's a whole different aspect of minor league baseball that surrounds entertainment that goes beyond baseball. That Major League Baseball, they touch on a little bit, but, you know, you go to a Major League Baseball player because you want to see Mike Trout or Albert Pujols or any of those guys. Honestly, you want to see them hit home runs. There's a lot of people that come to 66ers games because, you know, we've got a fun promotion going on. We're giving out Twinkies. We're doing zombie night. I mean, there's just a bunch of different stuff and reasons that why people come out that's beyond just the game. And that's what the fun part about being in minor league baseball is that side.
I'm speaking with Joe Hudson. He's the general manager of the Inland Empire 66ers. Is it the fun part or the challenging part? Because really you're having to be, when you go to a major league game, they're really going to see the major league player play their field, hit the ball, whatever it is they're going, that professional is really good at, right?
Sure.
And that's their team of choice to follow. When you go to minor league, some people, not everybody, will even watch the game. They're going there for the entertainment. But isn't that the challenge on your part or your staff's part to come up with promotion? So what's new in promotions for this season that you guys have come up with?
Yeah, well, no, you're right. That is the challenging part. And that's okay. That's the, you know, a lot of people always ask, how's the team going to be this year? And I don't know. I hope they're going to be great. You know, I don't have a whole lot of control of that. What I do have control over is music. What I have control over is the different promotions. And so we're doing a Dia de los Muertos night.
Around Cinco de Mayo.
Kind of, yeah. And so that's a fun promotion. We've got a logo came out on that, which is awesome. A lot of good buzz is coming out of that. We've got a number of different giveaways that we're really excited about. Mike Trout was with us last year, so we've got, you know, a Mike Trout blanket, a couple different Mike Trout bobbleheads that I know people are going to be all about. And then some of the fun, you know, theme nights. I mean, I'm looking forward to our Jurassic Park night. It's the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park, and so we're doing a Jurassic Park night at the ballpark. And there's a whole lot on there that try to get kids and families to come out to the ballpark for something more than just baseball. And obviously we want them to enjoy the game too, but like I said, I don't control what happens down on that field.
What's the deal with bobbleheads? My husband loves them and collects them, and they're dust collectors to me. What is the deal with bobbleheads?
I don't know, but you know what? They turn the gate. People love them. They just do. I've got a couple. I don't collect them as much. A lot of times I'll keep, a few, and I'll give them to kids when they come through the office for one reason or another. But I think people just, it's just like anything else. I mean, I'd rather people collect bobbleheads than, you know, Beanie Babies or whatever that stuff is, right?
Okay, I guess it's whatever one likes to collect.
Sure.
Sounds good. How tough is it to get people to come, to reach out to our community, and why should they go?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say it's tough. I mean, in San Bernardino or in Southern California, minor league baseball, you're going to have some challenges just in general because of the amount of entertainment that's down here. I tell people we're legitimately a 45-minute drive from Angel Stadium. I can go catch an Angels game, drive there in 45 minutes. You know, Dodger Stadium, take you an hour to get there and then an hour to park. But
I was going to say, it'll take a little bit longer than an hour.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's a ton of entertainment. So, yes, it's tough during the weeks because people are so busy in Southern California. They just are. But during the weekends, you know, I think we do pretty well. You know, last year, our front office, we did a phenomenal job of selling group tickets, selling season tickets, and we led the league in attendance this last year. That was something to hang our hat on and we're really excited about. But, you know, I think as long as we keep working on making sure that there's something fun and unique going on at the ballpark and we make our efforts to get that word out there, you know, being community-based and everything, we're going to be successful in getting people into the ballpark.
I think one of the things I like about minor league ballpark and having one in our community, actually a few of them in our community, is giving young children the experience of going to a ballpark. And granted, it's not quite the same. There's not as much fun things when you go to the major leagues, but you at least get the idea of the experience. And if parents can try it at the local level, then maybe they'll try it at the big level. Explain to me or some of our listeners that may not be baseball fans, the league itself and where your competition, who you're playing against, and the structure of the California League.
Sure. Yeah, California League is comprised of eight minor league baseball teams, four in the Northern Division, four in the Southern Division. The Southern Division is comprised of Lancaster, Lake Elsinore, Inland Empire, and Rancho Cucamonga. And then the Northern Division, Visalia, Stockton, Modesto, and San Jose. And so, you know, we play nearly as many games as the major league team. They play 162, we play 140, so we're just about a month shorter than they are. But there's a lot of similarities to the travel and the grind that these guys go through in terms of, you know, day-to-day work that, you know, same on the minor league level versus the major league level, except for it's not as glamorous.
Right. My brother played for Chicago White Sox. He got as far as AAA, but the single A to AAA, he always thought that Bull Durham kind of described the single A league the best, traveling on a bus all night, lugging your own gear, as opposed to when he played AAA, it got a little better.
Yeah.
And so it's a business to be playing in minor league, and the guys do have it kind of rough. Don't get the best salaries, playing the game mostly because they're hoping to make it to the big league.
Sure.
But probably just because they love the game, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody that comes to that clubhouse loves playing the game. And obviously, I think all of their end goal is to make it to Major League Baseball. I think some of them know that their chances are slim, and they'll still show up year in and year out because they do love playing. And you're right. It's not about, you know, at the minor league level, it's not about making the, you know, a ton of money. It's a lot of work. It's real hard. But, you know, I know a lot of guys and people that have been in baseball that, you know, they've went from playing minor league baseball, never quite made it to the majors, and now they're coaching in minor league baseball. And it's just, they want to put the uniform on every day. And that's just part of who they are. And so I respect that. But you're right. It's, you talked about Bull Durham. It's really funny that it's such an accurate portrayal, other than it, you know, being 30 years ago. But there's a lot of similarities that are still going on today with long bus rides, you know, game after game. And you know, I definitely respect the guys and how hard they have to work at each and every day.
What does it mean when, I know it's not good for the Angels when one of their guys gets hurt, but they have to go somewhere to play? What does it mean for the 66ers when they're hurt and they need to go play for a local team?
Yeah, well, you know, it's never good. The Angels will never say, "Hey, we're happy that you got somebody."
But
you know what? I think there's a great benefit to them and to us locally that we are so close in proximity. You know, we have had a lot of chances here to get some of these professional ball players coming down and doing rehab stints with us, and so you're seeing big names. You know, Jared Weaver, Mike Trout last year played four games with us. And so you got, you know,
were your ticket sales up a little bit during that period?
We did well. But, you know, you think about it. You, our most expensive ticket last year with Mike Trout in the ballpark was $14. It's the most expensive ticket. And so you got guys who are sitting front row right behind the net watching Mike Trout, who's arguably the best baseball player in the world, maybe even a once-in-a-generation talent, and they paid $14 to see him play. It's just that same ticket at Angel Stadium. I don't know.
I've paid for it. I know how much it is.
So those experiences are just, they're awesome. And, you know, he's not the only one. We had Matt Shoemaker come down last year, Jared Weaver a couple years back. We've had a lot of big guys come through. I think it's exciting for our fans, and I think it's exciting for the community. I mean, you think about it, like I said, some of these players, you know, think about some of these younger kids that would love to have the opportunity to go see Mike Trout play you know, mom or dad can't maybe one afford or take the time to get all the way out to Anaheim to do it. But now he's local for a couple games. You know, I heard some of those stories last year where these guys, you know, said, hey, I wanted to come out and see him. And so played on a Thursday and we had $3 tickets.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. My bucket list is to get to every Major League Baseball park. I have 7 more to go. I need to do Cleveland Indians, both teams in Texas, the Blue Jays, Yankees, Twins, and the Royals. And then I will have been to all of them.
You've done pretty well then.
So I'm close. Any other final thoughts about that you think our audience should know about or learn about the game of baseball?
You know, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people that say, you know, I'm not a big baseball fan. And I would challenge them to come out to a minor league game because I really do think that the minor league atmosphere is so much different than a major league atmosphere. And it's not to say it's better or worse. It's just so much different. A number of people that I talk to that say, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I love coming out to your game. I love your mascot, Bernie. Or, you know, it's just the interaction. And it's just the whole entertainment that we do. I would definitely challenge them to come out and catch a few 66ers games this year.
What is Bernie?
Bernie is a mythical creature. And that's as far as we can go.
All right, Joe, good luck this season. I hope that your season goes well. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's Joe Hudson, general manager for the Inland Empire 66ers. Major League and Minor League Baseball starts this week. After the break, I'll share my thoughts about my new experience. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. I've watched and enjoyed traditional television since I was a little girl. In fact, in elementary school, Thursdays was my favorite day of the week because I bought hot lunch at school, which was Chili Burger Day. And at night on TV was That Girl with Marlo Thomas and Bewitched with Elizabeth Montgomery. In middle school, MASH became a favorite of mine to watch with my dad. And in high school, sometimes I would skip going out with my friends on a Saturday night to stay home and watch The Carol Burnett Show. Through the decades, I've latched onto a few television series. For 6 years, Downton Abbey had my attention. Since my early days of watching TV, I do this weird thing of reading out loud all the names as they appear on the screen. You know, the actors, the creators, the directors. Don't ask me why. All this to say, I'm a television junkie of the past decades, with shows like The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Cheers, Taxi, and Friends. So learning and taking part in the Paley Fest 2018 was an absolute joy. I attended 4 of the 10-day festival, beginning the opening night with Barbra Streisand. The evening reflected her television career, featuring TV clips from her first TV guest appearance to her first television special, My Name is Barbra. Following the clips, the moderator, Ryan Murphy, who's a screenwriter, director, and producer, and Barbra were seated on stage to a packed house. The job of a moderator is important. It's his or her job to be the liaison with the audience to the actor on stage. It's his job to make it easy and fun for the actors, and fun and an experience for the audience. Murphy clearly had a good relationship with Barbra, but his questions were statistic-driven instead of emotional-driven or fan-driven questions. Of course, I had my list of questions I would have asked. So, on the Lillian Vasquez scale from 1 to 5, 5 being best, I gave this moderator a 3.5. Day 2 was the sitcom Will and Grace. My colleague Benjamin Perper and I were on the red carpet. Actually, it's blue carpet. Cameras were flashing. The actors were asked so many questions, shouted at to stand this way or pose that way, to smile looking this way, all for photo ops. It's kind of crazy. This time, we had the opportunity to ask some questions ourselves. All 4 actors, Eric McCormick, Deborah Messing, Sean Hayes, and Megan Mullally, and the creative team were on the carpet. The moderator was Dan Bukatinski, a writer, producer, and actor best known for his role on the TV drama Scandal. I thought Dan Bukatinski was a good moderator, a fan of the show, asked questions fans would ask if given the opportunity. On the Lillian Vasquez scale of moderators, I gave him a 4. Day 3 was The Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon. A large panel of actors were on the stage from each show. The moderator was Jessica Radloff, entertainment contributor for Glamour magazine. She was very engaging, clearly a fan of the shows, the actors and writers, and asked questions that I liked. One question she asked the panel, who would they be most thrilled about meeting?
I think we all kind of were overwhelmed when we met Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was that like?
Meeting was amazing, and he was so excited about being a part of the show. He wanted to come and hang out on set and watched the rehearsal. And I think that day Simon had to do an impression of him and didn't know that Stephen Hawking was going to be there, and so he had to do it in front of him. So I was sort of standing off to the side and watching for Hawking's reaction as Simon did his impression. He just got this big grin on his face. Yeah. It was amazing. He had such a good sense of humor about himself.
Wow.
It was frightening.
Yeah.
That's the smartest person you're ever going to meet. And I just, you know... But, no, I mean, we pretend to be these types of people all the time. I don't know. It was a true honor to work with him. At the time, I knew that intellectually, but I'm just trying to leave the room fast enough before I say something stupid.
She also asked a question that I thought was really interesting and trivia-driven. Where did the name of the characters come from? I never thought of asking that question, and I liked the trivia of that question. We did learn that Leonard and Sheldon got their name from the very successful television producer, Sheldon Leonard. On the Lillian Voska scale of moderators, I gave her a 4.5. Day 4 was a new show for this season. It's been picked up for a second season, The Good Doctor. This is my favorite breakout show. Actor Freddie Highmore plays Sean Murphy, a young doctor with autism who joins a surgical unit at a prestigious California hospital. The writers capture the essence of autism, the good and the challenging. The writing is terrific, and the autism consultant, Melissa Rayner, who will be my guest in April, really sets the show for accuracy as it relates to autism. On this night, the panel of actors, including Freddie Highmore, the producers and executive directors, were all on stage to talk about the series. Questions from the audience were mostly comments from parents of autistic children and shared their pleasure about the show's performance. The moderator was ABC 7 entertainment reporter George Pinocchio. I think he did a pretty good job. I liked the questions he asked. He kept things moving and seemed to be enjoying his time on stage with the panel. On the Lillian Voska scale of moderators, I gave him a 4. The Paley Fest is a chance to see so many current television actors in person, hear the inside scoop about the show, the actors, the writers, and more. It's the ultimate event for a television fan, and I highly recommend it. When all the red carpet stuff was over, I had the opportunity to hear the actors, producers, writers, and team creators talk about their shows. It's kind of cool, and I would totally do it again if given the opportunity. So, if you're a TV fan, plan to attend the Paley Fest 2019. I'm guessing it will have more great shows to highlight. That's my thoughts about the Paley Fest 2018. For the month of March, we're celebrating women through history and sharing their accomplishments. Sharina Wad highlights a prima ballerina.
Woman of two worlds. Maria Tallchief is considered to be the first American prima ballerina and the first Native American to hold that title. She was born in 1925 into the Osage tribe of Oklahoma. There she was exposed to Native American traditions, such as tribal dance, and began to study ballet. At the start of her professional career, she was pressured to change her name, to pose as a Russian dancer, but she refused. She never wanted to hide the heritage she was so proud of. Tallchief became known as a prima ballerina when she danced the lead role in The Firebird in 1949. A few years later, she was a sugar plum fairy in The Nutcracker, which, up until that point, was not the popular ballet known to all today. Because of her accolades as a ballerina, Tallchief found that people began to celebrate her Native American heritage, bringing two worlds together, an achievement that she took great pride in. For Lifestyles, I'm Sharina Wad.
That's our show. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wad, Sean Houlihan, Roger Aschheim, Benjamin Perper, and executive producer Rick Dulock. And thanks to Ethan Bortnick for our theme music. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with Lillian Voskes. Bye for now.
Support for Lifestyles on KVCR comes from Dr. Ingrid Trinkle in Redlands, providing medical and cosmetic dermatology, including PicoA laser treatments for tattoo removal. Information and a list of services online at clearmyinc.com.